So I had an interesting moment on Wednesday, late afternoon into the evening. I was called to the hospital to see a few folks that were there. I was going to see two people. And so I took the car and I drove down to Henry Ford. And I had one patient that was on the third floor. And I had one patient that was on the seventh floor. And I said to myself, okay, I'll go to the seventh floor first. So took myself up to the top of the building and saw a woman who, of course, was not doing so well. Got to sit and pray with her for a while. And then after I was finished there, I began to make my way back down to the third floor. And as I got into that elevator, I stopped halfway. Actually, not quite at the sixth floor. The elevator stopped. And two people walked in, and this lady spoke a phrase. I didn't know that she was talking to me, but she said something to me, and I didn't know. And so we spent the next three floors down to the third floor just kind of waiting there in silence. Do you know how elevator conversations go, right? You're kind of in an elevator, and then someone else walks in, and you just kind of shuffle to the side. And then you kind of like do this with your arms just to kind of, yeah, sure, please, please, yeah, come on. And then you spend the rest of the elevator ride, nobody really says anything, because nobody wants to take 10 seconds just to have small talk, and if you're really lucky, you know, you have some elevator music that can fill the noise, fill the silence. Well, it took me three floors to realize that this woman was actually, she actually was speaking to me, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, were you saying something to me? And she said, well, yes, I was. And I said, I'm so sorry. Look at this, being ignored by a priest in the elevator. So we spoke very briefly there at the third floor, and she said, well, when you're finished, why don't you come meet me down in the first floor at the gift shop? I want to speak to you about someone. And I said, sure thing, no problem. So I continued along my way and went to my patient on the third floor and spent some time with her to pray with her, talk with her, gave her the anointing of the sick, and then I went back to the elevator, down to the first floor into the gift shop to meet this woman. She was one of the volunteers at the hospital. And so she and I got to talking, and she spoke to me. She said, you know, there's someone here that I want you to go see. She said, a good friend of mine who just received some pretty bad news, and they're up on the sixth floor. And I went in there earlier, but didn't really get a chance to see them because family and friends were there, and all I wanted to do was just pray with them, and I didn't get a chance to do that. Do you think that you would be able to go and see this person and maybe just pray? And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And so she wrote down the person's name and the room number, and so I went back to the elevator and went back up to the sixth floor, down the hall, into this person's room, and I kind of just poked my head in, and sure enough, the person was there, and he was sitting on the bed, and there were two other people in the room, and so I kind of just knocked lightly on the door, and I looked in, and I said, hey, you guys don't know me? I said, but I think I just had a providential moment, and the Lord spoke to me through the voice of someone else who said that you might be interested in receiving some prayers. I said, would you mind if I just came in? And they said, sure, come on in. So I went in and I introduced myself, and these people are obviously not Catholic. I don't know if they've ever seen a Catholic priest in their life or not. I'm not sure. So I just start to talk with them very briefly and just kind of ask, you know, so tell me, what was the diagnosis? You know, what did the doctors say? What do they know at this point? Have they given you a therapy? And just wanted to make a little bit of small talk to make ourselves comfortable with each other, and he was able just to tell me sort of the surprise of what it was. I'm sure that you have heard of this happening before, if not in your own life, at least in the life of a family member or a friend, where someone kind of goes to the doctor for the normal checkup, and then when they get to the doctor for the normal checkup, turns out they got all kinds of things going wrong with them that they never knew about. So this gentleman had a metastatic cancer. It was all over his body. Didn't even know it. thought he had the flu for about a month and couldn't get rid of it, so he went to the doctor for some antibiotics. Turns out it wasn't the flu. And real tough, tough news. Probably in his mid-60s, I'd put him. His wife was there. His son was there. And you could just see that the man was very discouraged. Just very discouraged. And so finally I said, well, would you mind if I just prayed for you? I said, you don't even have to say anything. I can say all the words. Would you just be open if I just maybe led us in a little bit of a prayer? And he said, yeah, that'd be okay. I'd be okay with that. So I was kind of opposite his bed, and I walked right over beside his bed, and I kneeled right down on both my knees and just began praying. Oftentimes, as a priest, you feel like that's about the only tool that you have. You know, I'm very privileged on the one hand. I get to walk into people's lives and especially walk into those sensitive moments where people really are going through difficulties or going through sufferings. And I stand there not being able to fix the problem. And what do you do in a situation where you can't fix the problem? Well, you do the only thing that you know how to do. You ask God to enter in. And so I just began to pray, and I didn't know what I was going to say. I just began to speak words and just asked that the Father would be there, that he would send the Spirit of his Son Jesus into this place. I began to pray for the man and pray over the sickness in his body. I began to pray for his family, pray for his doctors and his nurses and those that were caring for him, and just really was asking that God would anoint the whole situation, that God would bring his healing presence. And as I prayed, this man began to weep. He began to cry. He was very moved, his wife and his son as well. And eventually I was able to kind of sort of finish my prayer, and I stood up, and he said, I'm so glad that you came and that you prayed. He said, that really meant a lot to me. Thank you for doing that. And I said, it's a real honor for me. I'm so grateful that God gave me the opportunity to do so. And then I left. And I don't think that I'll probably ever see that man again. And I don't know who he is. I know a very small amount of information about him. But what I do know is that he was sick, he was discouraged, and that he needed prayer. And that God specifically ordained me in that moment. It was in his providence that I needed to go and I needed to pray with that man, because I certainly would have not done so myself if I had not had that awkward elevator conversation that I didn't even know I was having. Prayer, sickness, anointing. A strong story for me that God wanted in this week of my life. And I've just been thinking about that story for the last few days, and especially the way in which that story might relate to the gospel. God will sometimes do that. He'll say, here's what I want to happen in your life. Pay attention, because this is what I'm talking about in this next Sunday's scriptures, which is very convenient for me, because then I can just bring it up to you guys. Makes the homily easy. Transfiguration. And the second Sunday of Lent every year, we hear the story of the Transfiguration, which is a little bit odd, because Transfiguration is already a feast of the church that we celebrate in August. Every year in August, we hear that story. But we also hear it in Lent, on the second Sunday of Lent. And I would say that that story from my life this week maybe puts that transfiguration into a very particular context, and not only for me, not only for this man, but perhaps for each of us, just to wonder about what's happening in that moment. Transfiguration is not the only moment when we hear the voice of the Father come from the clouds. Of course, we also hear that at the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus begins his ministry, he's baptized by John in the Jordan. The heavens are opened, and the voice of the Father comes down, and the Father says, this is my boy. This is my son. And he says that again here at the Transfiguration. And what's going on here at the Transfiguration? What makes this different than the point of the baptism? Well, in the Gospels, at the moment of the Transfiguration, Jesus is about to stare down the road that leads him to Jerusalem. The transfiguration happens not very soon or not very far away from the crucifixion. After the transfiguration, Jesus will then set his eyes onto Jerusalem, and he'll begin to take that journey south from Galilee to Jerusalem to meet his own doom. And what precedes that journey of doom is the voice of the Father, the glory of Jesus. You see, the Gospels relate what is truly revealed in the transfiguration. Of course, we hear that in the transfiguration, we see the glory of Jesus. His clothes become dazzling white. The prophets appear with him. He converses with them in this cloud of awesomeness. But there's something much more important that is revealed in the transfiguration. And it is the revelation of the love of the Father. The glory of Jesus is not his dazzling white clothes. The glory of Jesus is not even his relation to the prophets. The true glory of Jesus is that he is known and loved by the Father. That's what makes Jesus glorious. That's what is revealed in him in this moment. This has already been revealed in Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, but it's being revealed again here on Mount Tabor as Jesus stares down the pipeline of his own death. And that's an important lesson for us to learn as well about our own life journeys, wherever our life journeys are. Because God the Father wants to reveal his love to us even at these beautiful moments of life when we're about to begin something exciting, like a new chapter, Jesus beginning his ministry, us beginning a new job, us getting married, us being ordained, us having children, us going to weddings and all the beautiful fun things. But the love of the Father also needs to be revealed as we enter into our own road to Jerusalem. In all the ways that that road to Jerusalem happens. It happens a lot in our lives, we know this. And Lent is a particular season where we reflect a little bit on that prayer, on that fasting, on those acts of penance, on the suffering of Jesus. Even the suffering of Jesus was preceded by a revelation of the Father's love. And that's a lesson for us to learn as well, that what God wants us to know in our times of suffering is the love of the Father. Because it changes the way that we suffer. When you and I suffer and we know that we are loved in the midst of that suffering, we suffer very differently than if we're suffering in the midst of just our own discouragement. And it's so important that sometimes God does even slightly remarkable things. If you were someone who just found out that you might have a terminal diagnosis of cancer, and you're sitting, of all places, on a hospital bed trying to pull your life together, knowing that you might not have long, that your life might end sooner than you wanted it to end, and you needed to know in your discouragement what your suffering was going to mean, maybe God wants to reveal to you the love of the Father. And he might just bring a random dude into your hospital room to just offer you prayer so that your suffering might mean something different in a way that you didn't expect, in a way that I didn't even plan for. This needs to be preached. This needs to be known. The love of the Father is the exact thing that Jesus came to reveal. He says so himself, "When you see me, you see the one who sent me. You see my Father. You see my dad. If you see my love, you see my Father's love." That's the love that's poured out upon the world. It's poured out upon the world, especially in times when we're really tested. Just like we heard in the first reading, when God asked Abraham, "Do you trust me even in the great test? Do you believe my love, even if you are about to enter into great suffering?" And Abraham said, "Yes." And it was the act of faith in Abraham that opened up for him an enormous blessing from God. And it's the same act of faith that you and I are asked That act of faith which opens up to us enormous blessings from the Father, particularly in those times of testing, particularly in those times of suffering and in grief, when we might feel very weighed down by discouragement or despair or despondency or confusion. Whether we're experiencing that for ourselves or whether we're going through it in the lives of the people that we love and we bear that weight with them. This second Sunday of Lent, where we hear again the glory of the Transfiguration, we're reminded that that suffering is very meaningful to God. That grief is very meaningful to God. That particularly in those moments, he wants to make his remarkable love known to us so that we can be consoled by something even greater than suffering, which is ultimate victory that Jesus even saw as he walked his road to Jerusalem. May we receive that gift this day, wherever we are, for ourselves, for the ones in our lives who are going through difficulty, that as we receive the love of the Father, we see also our ultimate victory.